parasha. This week we have parashas for era. Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh is on
Monday.
Okay, so it's not Mocha Chodesh. Sometimes parashas for era, the Haftarah parashas for era, sometimes is Mocha Chodesh. But not this year. This year it's the regular Haftarah from, where is it from? From Yecheskel, Yirmiyah. It is from Yecheskel. Okay. Now, what the parasha begins with, Va'edor, I appeared, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, V'yol Yaakov, Bekel Shakoi, U'shmi Hashem Loi Noidat Yilohem. Question. When we say Shema, we begin Shema Esrei, what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, V'Elokei Avosein. We're not satisfied with a catch-all. We go on to say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, V'Elokei Yaakov. Question. Why do we have to repeat the word Elokei three times? Let's just say, what it should be enough just to say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Why is it necessary to repeat three times? And the answer given by almost all of the commentators is, and this is it's also in the pasuk, the psukim that say also Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, is because each one of the others had their unique perspective, a unique approach, a unique accomplishment, a unique understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avraham, when he related, when he connected to Hashem, it was through the Nida of Chesed. Avraham was exceptional in the Nida of Chesed. Yitzchak was exceptional in the Nida of different ways to describe the same thing: Avoda, Yira, fear of Hashem. Oisek does not appear that it was not his thing to be Oisek in a Hachnosas Orchim. The Mida of Yitzchak was to focus, to stay put in one location, a Kol Yungaman, to stay in one location and work on himself, connect to the fear of Hashem. The Koch of Tzfila, the Koch of Yira, a very, very different Mida. Yaakov Avinu, what was his Mida? So there are different understandings. Some said Yaakov was the synthesis of Chesed and Yira. Some say Yaakov Avinu is the midah of Torah, a different avoid entirely. He's the study of Torah, the intellectual element of Yadus. Yadus, you have chesed, heart, kindness. Yitzchak was fear. Yaakov was an intellectual. MS, titin MS, Yaakov chesed, Torah is MS. Or Yaakov was the synthesis of both. Okay, it's not important in this moment. It's not our goal to go and delve into the unique need of each one of the three of us. But the point is, each one had a unique connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And for that reason, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. So the question then is, why then does it not say in this pasuk, it should say, Vo'era El Avraham, Vo'era El Yitzchak, Vo'era El Yaakov. Just like it said, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, which is based upon Sukkim, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that each one of the avos had a unique understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem relates to you the way you relate to Hashem. So we should say, I appear to Avraham, Vo'era El Yitzchak, Vo'era El Yaakov. Why is the word Vo'era only once as a collective expression rather than being repeated three times, just like in the Shemoneh Esrei, repeated, Elokei, Elokei, Elokei. And the answer is a very important limud. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is only one Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a powerful limud, you put the two together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, is everything. He appears to the Avos, he appears to every single person the same. Hashem is Kolel everything. It's the way you perceive him. If the pasuk would say Vayirol Avraham, Vayirol Yitzchak, Vayirol Yaakov, that would mislead us. That would think that you go to an extreme and could say there are three gods. There's a God that appears to Avraham. There's a God that appears to Yitzchak. There's a God that appears to Yaakov. Or if you want to go say there's one God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only shows one element to each person. You can only have this understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can only learn with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gemara. And you only can learn with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nach. And you can learn with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Musa. No one is able to connect to the entire the totality of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is why it is so critical to put these two together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, he doesn't departmentalize himself. He doesn't break himself up into different groups. To you, I'm going to appear like this. To you, I'm going to appear like this. To you, like this. The pasuk does not say Vo'eiro El Avraham, Vo'eiro El Yitzchak, Vo'eiro El Yaakov. Hashem reveals himself in his total form to every single living creature. The living creatures, on the other hand, from their perspective, are limited. They can only connect in one prize. Avraham is a human being. He's not able to connect with the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of Avraham Avinu, he connects. Where is his neshama rooted? In the Nida of Chesed. Elokei Avraham. Yitzchak, he connects Elokei Yitzchak. Yaakov connects Elokei Yaakov. Each idea is one half of the whole. If you don't combine these two ideas together, to
all three of them and have half of it?
No, I mean each pasuk. You have each pasuk. This theme here, where it says one vo'era. Vo'era El Avraham El Yitzchak V'El Yaakov. In contrast to what we say in Shimon Esrei, Elokei Avraham, there's a God of Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak V'Elokei Yaakov. Well, what is it? Is it Elokei, 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 or is it just one vo'era? Well, the answer is it depends from whose perspective. From the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's only one Elokei. I am revealing myself to mankind, to this world. You as human beings are limited, so you can only pick up or connect to Hashem with what resonates in your neshama. So Avraham is Elokei Avraham. He has a unique midah. Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. If you would not have both of these psukim, you would be misled. If you only had Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, with that, and the parallel would be Vo'erol Avraham, Vo'erol Yitzchak, Vo'erol Yaakov, you would be misled to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reveal himself altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's gone. He's not even around. To each person only has limited access to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if the pasuk would say Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you would think that every person gets and sees it all. Every person is the same. We're all just carbon copies of one another. No one has a unique chelik in the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's only the combination of Vo'era once verse Elokei, 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 which paints for us the complete picture. Hashem is HaKol Yochol. Hashem is infinite. He reveals himself to the world in its totality, in the completeness. We try to connect to Hashem the best that we can in our limited existence with where our neshama is rooted, but we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot more than what we are able to connect to. Every person has their unique chelik in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, that's one idea. Now let's go to another idea. Ovi Hashem says, classic pasuk in Rashi, that Ushmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they only knew me by the name. I'm getting that expression for the moment. Bikel Shakai. Shakai. Shin, Dalet, and then the letter Yud. We're very familiar with this Shem Hashem. We have it on the mezuzah. We have it on the tefillin. And they only knew Shakai. They did not know the name Yud Kevav. The problem is, that's false. It's explicit in the Pesukim over and over that Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu says, Hashem Elokim, but Mo'eda Ki Yirashena. And Hashem actually, a Pesukim, I didn't do my homework, but there are Pesukim all over by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, where Hashem appears to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And even we find Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov speaking to Hashem. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham. So who's speaking to you? Yud Kei Vav Kei. And even we find that Hashem, Avraham says, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Bamo Eda Ki Iroshena. And Yaakov as well, there is even more explicit by Yaakov. So what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Ushmi Hashem lo yinoidati lohem. What's going on over here? Go learn Chumash. It's all over the place. The name Yudke Vavke was well known to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Rashi attempts to lighten the question by saying that when it says Ushmi Hashem, it means they did not know what it means reward. Rashi seems to, between the lines, it's a very long Rashi. Rashi goes through two Pirushim, he goes through the whole Rashi. Rashi seems to say is that Avraham recently certainly knew about Yudke Vavke, but what it means is they were not the makir in the midah of Amitus. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Neman to reward. Hashem made promises, but Hashem did not show them the reward. So here, when the Pasuk says, Ushmi Hashem, with the Pasuk, you have to loosely understand the Pasuk to mean that Hashem did not allow the others to see the parents, the reward of their actions. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to see it. You're going to see what it means, you're going to see what it means, you're going to see the Midah Amidah Shaloi. Now, I want to just elaborate upon that idea.
How does that get you?
So look, the question is, look at the let me read for you the words of Rashi. The words of Rashi are, Bekel Shakoi, Hiftachtim, I made promises. Uvichulon, Amarti Lohem, Ani Kel Shakai. Rashi is saying, they certainly knew the name Yudke Vavke. However, when I made a promise to them, when I had a conversation, I told them, you're going to have children, you're going to inherit, you're going to be given Eretz Yisrael, this will happen, that will happen. At the moments when I made a promise, my promise on my stationery, it said, right. Shakai. They certainly knew I'm Yudke Vavke. Okay, they had the book. They certainly knew that Hashem is Yudke Vavke. But on the letter, on the letterhead where I signed the document that I'm going to give you A, B, C, and D, on that letterhead it said Ribbono Shel Olam Kel Shakai. Okay, there are some people that have many positions in life. They have five jobs, and every one of their jobs they have another letterhead. So they don't. When you're acting in this position, you use this letterhead. When I'm acting in this position, I have this letterhead. You don't use the wrong letterheads for the different position, right? If you're the head of the Department of Sanitation, you don't write, and you also happen to be a Rosh Hashiva, you don't write a Haskama to a Sefer for one of you told me them on the letterhead of Rabbi so-and-so. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Sanitation for New York State. That gives the impression that the Sefer belongs in the garbage. You use the letterhead that says, I am the Rosh HaYeshiva. But a Rosh HaYeshiva also needs to make parnasa. So Baruch Hashem, I work for the city. I work for the Department of Sanitation. And I have a very good job, and I even have my own stationery. But when you come and you sit in the shul, you sit in the yeshiva, you're careful to use the right letterhead when you write a haskama for one of your talmidim. When the Ribbono Shel Olam wrote his haskama that you're going to have children, going to have Eretz Yisrael, it was on the stationery of Kel Shakai. Who's writing the letter? Ribbono Shel Olam, otherwise known as Kel Shakai. Yeah, Hashem was other stationery, but he didn't give that to Avraham the prophet. That's how Rash is coming to light. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, when I make a promise to you, when I tell you that you're going to succeed in redeeming the Jewish people, then it's going to be the stationery that I give you to present the paro. It says Ribbono Shel Olam Yudke Vavke, otherwise known as Yudke Vavke, because Yudke Vavke is the name which means I fulfill my promises. Everyone knows that Hashem fulfills his promises. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But their documents did not have that stationery. That's pretty much how Rashi is coming to Fataych the Pasuk. And we'll elaborate. Not coming to say anything different than Rashi. And there's just another knesh. And that is, Avraham, there's a very important emphasis in this Pasuk. I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. And it says here, Ushmi Hashem. Loi noidati lohem. Rashi elaborates loi noidati. Doesn't say loi hoidati, loi noidati. There's an emphasis. Ushmi, my name. And Rashi, in fact, later in Rashi, he alludes to this. I'm just trying to explain Rashi. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov knew of Yud Kei Vav Kei. They knew it better than you, Moshe Rabbeinu. But they did not relate to Yud Kei Vav Kei as it being Hashem's name. By Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there was no such thing as a name. What is the purpose of giving someone a name? A child, I give him a name. It means, this is how I am able to identify you. What would happen if people did not have names? Could society survive? Yes, it would be much more complicated. It would be a very complicated life. No one has a name. No one, you're not allowed to give a person a name. No one has a name. So I have to recognize who you are. And I will, when I need you or you need me, I will go to you. I recognize this is what you look like. This is who you are. And I will speak to you. I'm not going to be able to call out, Mr. So-and-so, can you please stand up? Mr. So-and-so, I want to speak to you. I will have to go and get a hold of your attention and communicate with you. The purpose of a name is to identify a person, to connect with him in a way that you otherwise could not do so. When Hashem created the world, when Hashem revealed himself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all of the Adam and Chava, to the best of my knowledge, nowhere does it say that they viewed HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. They acknowledged there is a Yud Kei Vav Kei. There is a creator. Hashem created the world. And we can speak to him. We can dive into him. We can communicate with him. But Hashem has a name to use to take a Kadosh Baruch Hu and to give him an identification number? Hashem's number. Hashem, what is your social security number? I need to know Hashem's social security number.
That's the meaning.
That way I can, it's a very great advantage. Number one, I can limit Hashem. I can be mitzamtzem Hashem. I'm a very limited person. I can't deal with the infinite nature of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can only deal with a micro, a mashu, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's essence. So I need to package it. I need to get a handle on it. And the way you get a handle on an identity of a person, of a being, is to give it a name. Hashem, when he created the world, he created all the creatures, and he wrote Avraham Rishon, I want you to give names to all of the creatures. Now, give a name to yourself. Give a name to your wife. Did Hashem ever ask Adam HaRishon that Adam should give a name to Hashem? Maybe you'll find the Medrash, but it's not in any pasuk. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they knew there's a Kel Shakai, they knew clear and well there's a Yud Kei Vav Kei. But they were limited, or they were not given the opportunity to take Hashem, who is the Kol Yachol, and to basically take it into their possession by giving Hashem a name. And the advantage of the name is I can now go to a paro who doesn't know what Hashem is and talk about Hashem through a name. If Hashem doesn't have a name, I can't negotiate with a non-believer. Adam in our Adam Rishon's time, there was no such thing as a non-believer. Everyone acknowledged Hashem. The question is, are you going to serve Hashem or are you going to rebel against Hashem? We're now dealing all these years later and there are people walking around the world who don't even know there's a Hashem. They know about all these idols, all of these strange things, but they don't even know there's a creator. They believe in all of these, all this nonsense. Moshe Rabbeinu, dealing with Paro, needed to give Hashem a name. Not just Hashem exists. I need a name. And when you give a name, what you're doing is you are being given permission to have a relationship, have a way to communicate directly and even indirectly with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay, I'm saying words which need more hesber, but this is what the Pasuk really is saying. I appear to Avraham El Yitzchak El Yaakov Bekel Shakai. What is Bekel Shakai? Shakai is the name that Hashem used to create the world. Chazal interpreted what Shakai means, Sh'omar Le'oilomoy Dai. Hashem gave a command, the world should be created. Sh'omar Le'oilomoy, there should be the world, then Hashem said, Dai, stop. Stop right here, the world now is finished, that's what I want, I want the world to stop expanding, I want the world to reach, this is the final version of the world. When Hashem created the world, no one was communicating with Hashem. I'm the creator, and you are the Nivra. I don't have a name. I'm everything. So that expression, Bekel Shakai, is a catch-all for all of Hashem's names. Hashem is called Tzavokos. Hashem is called Kel. Hashem is called Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem is called Elokim. All of the various facets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all the various things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are all a world of reality. But man was never permitted to connect to these facets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving it a name. This is a reality. Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei. But can I take Yudkei Vavkei and use it as a shame? As a name? What does it mean to be a name? It means it's a part. It's a code of reference. Right now, Hashem, you can take a break. Go out and have a cup of coffee. And I'm going to have a conversation with him about you. I'm going to have a conversation with so-and-so about the Ribbono Shel Olam. You need a name to do that. If you don't have a name, I can go talk to you about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't know what the Ribbono Shel Olam is. It is a means, kaviyochol, of reference, of connecting indirectly. I don't have the right words. You have to think about this. But giving a person, a human being, a name accomplishes amazing things. Which is not a... And if you would not give a person a name, the person still exists. A baby is born. You don't give the baby a name for the first 8 days. Does that mean there's no baby? The baby is a baby. He exists. How do you refer to him? The baby. You've given him a name. Okay, in essence, you've really given him a name. Just a name change. On the 8th day, by the bris milah, what are you really doing? Are you giving it him, or are you giving a name change? It's a name change on the 8th day, because the first 8 days, how do you refer to it? The baby. So that's the name, the baby. That's the name of this creature. Day 8, name change. Name change. We're now going to call him Calamus, Colonimus, what's the name? Colonimus Calamus. Colonimus Calamus. Oh, name change. You're giving him a name change. Avram Avinu, the Avos, the Kadmonim, they knew of Hashem. They were in awe of Hashem. Now is a new Tekufa.
So why can't Shakai be used as a name?
Shakai, why can Yudkei Vavkei be a name? Why can Elokim be a name? Shakai is the best of them because Shakai is the first name.
Wouldn't it be appropriate to use that name for Paro? You said you needed...
No, that's not the name we want to focus on. That's not, we want to focus on Yudkei Vavkei, because Yudkei Vavkei represents you're going to be punished. Shakai does not refer to punishment. Yudkei Vavkei refers to retribution, good and bad.
Or keeping promises.
Keeping promises, good and bad. There are accountability. Yudkei Vavkei is a code for accountability. Paro, you are accountable for torturing the Jewish people. Until this point in time, Hashem did not have a name. So Hashem existed.
Well, when Avram received the message, Lech Lecha, right? What did he say to Sarah? That Hashem said, which name did he use to say, God said to go?
So that's all part of it. He didn't use a name. Obviously, obviously, when Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha, it's very hard to put this in words, but Hashem is saying to Avram and Sarah, Lech Lecha. Sarah is basically eavesdropping on Avram. You don't find that Avram says, Sarah, Hashem said we have to go. You're asking a really good question, and that has to be understood. It's a different type of relationship. When a person, a creature, does not have a name, and is not even allowed to have a name, You're not allowed to reference it.
That's why the naming function that Adam performed was so important.
Exactly. And but yet we don't find
he could do it.
But we don't find that Adam was given the task to name Hashem. But you get a name?
Signs, attributes. That's says, the way Rabbi Alpert puts
it's also a shame.
Words. It signs, attributes. And that's why after it, he says, after the Milchemes of four or five kings, when Abraham and God tells him he's, you know, he only after the Meshach B.C., you know, when God tells him you're going to have a child, he says, Vayachshiveh lo tzedakah. I don't understand the reward and punishment concept, but if you're giving it to me out tzedakah, I'm willing to accept it.
Okay.
That's what he says. Vayachshiveh lo tzedakah means that I was, you know, it's a midas hadin.
This parsha begins a new tekufa in the history of the world, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling mankind, it's not enough that I exist. I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you permission to refer to me by a name. I'm giving you my social security number.
But when it talks about anus, right? Yikrav Hashem Hashem. Right? Yikrav Hashem Hashem.
Hashem.
Yukevokke.
Say again, what?
In Bereshit, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
It says, When
Shem
gave birth to Enos,
it says, Oz Likro B'Shem Hashem. So Rashi has two pages. Oz Likro, what does it say? Oz Chuchal Likro. Okay, he's saying very good. So Rashi here says, refers to Avodah Zarah. One shot.
Yeah.
And the other shot that refers to Tefillah, then you got me. Let me look at the Pasuk. Oz chuchal likroi b'shem Hashem. Machleik is Rashi and the Targum. Targum, we just spend time on this. What page?
426.
Wow. Boy, you have good. You should be saying the shit here. U'l'shei skam hu yulad bein v'yikro esh shemo enosh. Oz chuchal likroi b'shem Hashem. Very good. Excellent. Targum says, we discussed this, they called him Kras Yos Shemoshe. Chol Bnei Nosha Mi Militza Lo'a B'Shmo De Hashem. Excellent. So this is a good kash. Yeah, very good. B'Shem Hashem. Okay, I'm not giving up yet, but you yes, good. You got me down. Okay? The referee, he's counting 1, 2, 3 on that. However, with that being said, Rashi disagrees. Rashi, Pasuk Chavav, on this Pasuk says, it says, Os huchal l'shoim chulin hu. Likroi eshemois ha'adam v'eshemois ha'atzavim b'shemois shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'asoysan elilin. To make them idols. V'likroisan elohos. They began to call out in the name of Avodah Zarah. They began to call objects and Rashi, only Pshat Rashi says. And because of this Rashi, we discussed this a few weeks ago, because of the Pshat Rashi, it has become the Minhag Yisrael not to stop at this point. Traditionally, for 500 years at least, this was the end of the Aliyah. Obviously, based upon the Pshat of the Targum, we were a Targum generation for many generations. And for some mysterious reason, someone woke up, I don't know, 50 years ago, and decided Targum no more Targum, only Rashi, and everything has to be changed according to the parish of Rashi. And therefore, since this Pasuk ends off on a bad note, we're not going to stop the Aliyah here, we're going to stop the Aliyah a little bit earlier, we're going to stop the Aliyah earlier on. Okay, so, but Rashi does indeed say, B'Shem Hashem means Avodah Zarah. So according to that, it's not a kasha.
But how does that relate to the using of Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is
Hashem's essence. They began calling creatures Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei.
That means they knew the name?
They began worshipping. Of course they knew the name. But it's not... See, of course, Hashem is Hashem. Let's go to the example. A baby is born. The baby does not have a name. Does baby exist?
Yes.
But it's no name. It has no identity. It has no identity. What do you mean the baby exists? How do you refer to him? The baby. There are a million babies. How do you identify him? You have a problem. You got a problem. Until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence was so awesome, was there. You don't refer to Hashem by a name. By referring to Hashem is almost an insult, because a name means you're just like everyone else. Every creature has a name, so you also have a name.
A name is limiting.
It's limiting, exactly. It's tzimtzum. To give Hashem a name, you are limiting Hashem. Avram Avinu, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they lived with Hashem. They never had to call Hashem by a name, because of who else? Who else? Avraham says, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Why? What do you mean, why? Because we're going. Because this is what we're supposed to do. It was self-understood. This is what we're supposed to do, means because Hashem said to do it. I don't have to go say this. Sarah, you know, the Ribbono, Hashem came to me. Hashem is right here in the room. When Avram talks to Sarah, we're going, it means obvious, because Hashem, it's obvious Hashem says we're going. Now they're living in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim they don't know about Ribbono Shel Olam. It's now necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to be mitzamsem Hashem into a name. That's a very big mizayon for Hashem. That he has to be confined into a name as a reference, as a number? So the answer is yes. That's what Hashem says. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were such an exalted level, they didn't need a name. Hashem was with them all the time. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're now in a new generation where you need to make use of a name. And it has benefits and has chesroinos. Okay, there are definitely benefits, which means that through the name you're going to be able to have a relationship with me in a very unique way. But also there's a chesaron, that having the name, it's a zilzal, it's a tzimtzum in the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, enough said. Think about it. There's something going on here. Let's go to another idea. This week's parashah we learned about the Dalit L'shoinoi Shel Geula. The Hoitzesi, the Hitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. The parashah of the four L'shoinois of Geula begin with a very unique expression. Lochain Emor Levnei Yisrael. Beautiful expression, Pasuk Vav. Lochain Emor Levnei Yisrael. Emor Levnei Yisrael, Pasuk Vav. Perik Vav, Pasuk Vav, Vav. Ani Hashem, v'yotzei si eschem, mitach hasilos mitzrayim, v'yitzalti eschem, me'avoy osam, v'yigualti eschem, v'yizroi letuya, u'v'shvatim nilim, v'lokachti eschem li la'om, for l'shoynais, and then if you wanna wax poetic, there's the fifth lashon of v'hei v'si. Baal HaTurim, Pasuk Vav. Baal HaTurim says, you should be aware, l'chein emar, only twice in the entire Tanakh do we find the expression Lochein Emar. These two magic words juxtaposed. Beis b'mesoyres. Lochein Emar levnei Yisrael. Lochein Emar hinani noisein loy es brisi shalom. Pinchas was given the blessing of shalom. And he goes on to say a beautiful drasha, which I leave to you to look. I want to give you a drush. Okay, the drush is as follows. The Dalit L'shoinois in this pasuk is compared to peace. What is shalom? The fact that these two psukim both share L'chein Emar, Hinei Nois Nois Brisi Shalom, and L'chein Emar B'nei Yisrael V'yotzeisi V'yitzalti V'goalti V'lokachti, it's teaching us that the essence of shalom is the Dalit L'shoinois. The four L'shoinois of Geula are, what is the translation of peace? Right? Peace in the world. Shalom Bayis, Shalom Be'olam. The translation of peace is Yotzeisi V'Yitzalti V'Goalti V'Lokachti. What does that mean? What does peace have to do with the four L'shoinois of Geula? Shnei Kisuvin Hanachishim Zezeh Ad Sheyavoy HaKosuv HaShlishim Yachriya Bereyen. We once mentioned this idea. This is a beautiful idea. Can't get away from this idea. Mitzvah Shabbos, we are mevakeish peace. Atochonantan. Mitzvah Shabbos, we come to the bracha to chonein le'adam das. Umelane le'noshvina. And then we come at the end, we come to a bakosha. Ribbono shel olam avinu malkeinu. Hochel aleinu hayomim haboim likraseinu lishalom. It's Mitzvah Shabbos. There's a whole week ahead of us. Please, Hashem, may it be a week of peace. What does that mean? What do you mean, peace? What does it mean? Well, what does peace mean? So the Anshei Knesses HaGadolah have done for us a very great chesed. They've given us a Peirush Rashi on the word, on the meaning of the word peace. You know what peace means? Keep on going. Chasuchim mikol chet. Umenukim mikol avoin. Umedubakim biyirasecha. Three things, it says. Peace, you know what peace is? Yirah Shamayim. Don't do averos. If a person goes through the week without doing averos, he is in a state of peace. And there are three levels of Yirah Shamayim, or Yirah Shamayim. Number one is chosuch. Chosuch means to be pulled out, to be withdrawn. It sounds like almost like you're in the clutches of the Yetzirah. And Hashem, help us, withdraw us from chet. Uminukin mikol ovan. It's a higher level. Naki, clean. When you're passing on the street, don't be nichshol. It's there. I'm not, in the first expression, I'm already in its claws. Pull me out. The second expression is to be naki. I'm not in its claws. I should be clean. The third level is dveikus. Dveikus biyirasecha. I'm not in its claws. I don't even have a nesoyon, and I'm going in the other direction to cleave in fearing Hashem. And then we come to the fourth, which is the continuation. And now, after I have those three levels, Choneinu me'itzicha. Show me favor, grace from within you. To mamish, not just to cleave. There's one thing when you cleave. When you cleave, it's you're touching. Then there's to be inside. To be mingled. Me'itzicha dea bina v'haska. Now let's combine everything we just said together. What is peace? Peace is v'yitzesi, v'yitzalti, v'goalti, v'lokachti. Why do we have a right to say that? The Baal HaTurim says it. Because only twice in the entire Tanakh does the pasuk begin with the expression lochein emor. And gezeira shava, that's all fair game. If only twice in Tanakh, Chazal, the pasuk used lochein emor, obviously there is a relationship between these two psukim. Peace, Hinni Noisin Lo Yisbrisi Sholoim, is synonymous with the Yitzesi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. The Anshei Knesses HaGedolah have embellished the meaning of peace by teaching us there are four levels of peace. There's the peace of Chasuchim Mikol Chet. I'm in its clutches, I'm Zoicha to be pulled out. Number two, I'm Noki Mikol Avoin. I'm clean. I'm clean from Avoin. I'm not tempted. I'm gonna be at a distance from the Yetzirah. Then I am Dovuk b'yirasecha. I'm not just in its claws, kneeing people down. I'm not just opposite. I'm going in the other direction to cleave to Hashem. And then there is Choneinu me'itzecha. So I should be one with Hashem. Chein. The noyach, there's no greater blessing in the Torah than the blessing of chayim. The noyach motza chayim. It's this week's parasha. Last week's parasha. That when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, I will give the chayim, the chayim ha'om, the enei mitzvah. I heard last week by Shaul Shudis, last week by Rosh Shimon, and he made a beautiful drash. He said, what was the rechush gadol? When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they went out, v'achar chayim yitzu b'rechush gadol. What was the rechush gadol? Money? Well, they went out with Brinks trucks following behind them? Is that what life is all about?
Brinks donkeys.
Is that what it's all about? Yeah. The bring donkeys. Is that what life is all about? That's what. That's a very sad life. If life is all about you're gonna leave with money, you leave with credit cards, cash, and assets. Yeah, but it's a very sad life. You know what the Rechush Gadol was? As the Pasuk says last week, I've got it on the tip of my tongue, it was the Chain. That Klal Yisrael...
They were despised, not that...
Chain. The Chain that Klal Yisrael had in the eyes of the world, of Egypt, of Hashem Nosen, as Chain Ha'on, the Enei Mitzrayim. There's no more beautiful gift than a person having chen in the eyes of man and the eyes of Hashem. Choneinu me'iticha. To have the chen of from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Deya Bina v'Haskel. What more could you possibly want? So now we have a new taich of what it means, the Yotzeisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. You know what the Yotzeisi is? Get me out of here. The Yotzeisi. Take me out of the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. The Hitzalti. Hitzalti is a little bit lighter. Is, look, this temptation. This temptation right in front of me. I'm not in its clutches. But Hashem save me. Because in 5 minutes from now, I will be in its clutches. I will not be able to overcome the temptation. The Hitzalti. Minukim mikol avay. It's Vigo'alti. Gu'ula. Gu'ula means let's go in that direction. Redemption. I want to travel. I want to be medubok b'yirasecha. And then comes v'lokachti eschem lila'ot. You're mine. You're mine. Choneinu me'itecha deya bina v'aska. You want a mine. Okay, so we have here a new taich. A new taich of what it means the Hoitseisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, Lochein Emor. This is equivalent to Sholem. Sholem has four Madregos. And you put all three together, we now have a greater appreciation that we, every single day of our lives, we need the four Lashonis of Gula. We need the Hoitseisi, the Yitzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. We need every single day to be Zoiche. To be chasuch mikol chet, minukim mikol avon, umedubakim biyuasecha, v'chaneinu me'itecha, deyabina v'haskel. To be able to cleave, to have the chen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be something which the lakach yaschem lilam. What do you buy in the store? You go buy an esrog. So what do you buy? You buy the esrog that you like. Right? They're all kosher. They're all this, they're all that. I like this esrog. It has chen. This one, Eshek Aschein in my eyes, I buy it. You go into a dealership, they show you the cars. Which one do you want to buy? Which one do you want to lease? They're all the same. What, you can make a difference? This one has a 1 gallon per mile more. The whole thing is baloney anyway. What difference does it make? You buy the one that you like. Vizehu. You don't care about this Mishkas, that Mishkas. It all comes down when the day is over. Hey, go buy a smartphone. You know how many smartphones there are today? You buy the one you like. This chip, that chip, this, who even knows what these things are? It looks good. You buy it, v'zehu, chen. This is what, v'lokach li eschem lilam. These are the four madrigals. Okay, let's go to another idea. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I got bad news to tell you. Kaved leiv paro. Paro is an action. Okay, Kaved leiv paro. Paro is a difficult person. The question over here is, what does that mean exactly? Kaved. He's heavy? Overweight? Weight Watchers? What do you mean kaved? Kaved means he's stubborn, he's thick. He's obstinate. Oh, a lot of, very hard to translate. Look over for Hashem. What does it mean, kaved? So one of the Mefarshim, I don't remember, one of the Mefarshim, maybe it's Medrash, says that Paro's heart has turned into a liver. Kaved in Lashon HaKodesh means a liver. A liver. Kaved. A heart is a different organ. His organs are all mixed up. That where the heart is supposed to be, in that part of the body, there's a liver. Kaved, lev paro. The heart of paro is the liver. What does that mean? What does that mean? So the answer is, there are two organs in the body through which every drop of blood has to pass. If I'm not mistaken, Dr. Friedman, is this true? These are the only two organs. There are only two organs in a human being which every drop of blood in your body passes and must pass. And that is the heart and is the liver. Nothing else. Is that true? Are these the only two organs that every drop has to pass and does pass?
But you have to get it oxygenated and the liver clears the poisons from the body.
Right, the liver, but every drop of blood passes through the liver at some point, passes through the liver. But is there another organ? The heart is pumping the blood. Is there another organ that gets every molecule of blood it goes through?
The kidneys.
The kidneys? Is that true?
I think it sounds that way. Yeah.
The kidneys also get all...
I never thought of it in those terms. Good, yeah.
The kidneys, every drop of blood goes through the kidneys? Every drop of blood, okay. Okay, it's not a kash to my var. Don't worry, I'm still safe. Don't worry. I'm still safe. Don't worry. There's a fundamental difference between the kidneys and the heart. Difference in the short, to make it nice and short, the heart is a giver. The kidneys is a taker. The heart, the kidneys is the heaviest organ in the body. The kidneys, the liver. The liver is pure blood. In the laws of kashrus, when you eat liver, you can't salt liver. Liver in the halacha, whole shulchan aruch, liver is pure blood. Liver, how do you kashrus liver? You have to roast it. The only way you can kashrus, there's no such thing as salty liver. They do a little, the sentence from the Ramah, melicha ma'at. But you have to do the roasting. Liver is blood. The liver is a repository of all the blood. It loves blood. It's a collection, it's the heaviest organ. It does good things also. It's very selective. It produces bile to clean out the schmutz. It cleans out the toxins. It adds nutrients into the blood. But basically, the first thing the liver does is it's a collection agency. And then it's a collection agency. So all the blood has to go there. And then the liver decides which blood can leave, what part of the blood can have a nice day and go off to the body, which blood needs a little nutrients, needs a little embellishing, and what's the psoilus, you're not going nowhere. You're out. I'm taking you out. But it is a mokim where all the blood collects. The heart doesn't collect anything. The heart collects blood, you're in a lot of trouble. The heart is a pump. The heart's tafkid is go, go, go. The heart of Chazal is the nidiv lev. The generosity of the heart. Why is the word nidiv associated with the heart? Because that's what the heart does. Whatever it gets, out of here. Pump you out of here. They would say there are struggles with the lunch, the administration, the Torah, they had tightness against him. Any time there was a good Talmud, he sent him away. He threw him out. He sent him to start another yeshiva. Start a kollel. Go here, go there, be Marbitz Torah. We need some Talmidei Chachamim in this yeshiva also. What are you sending away all the Talmidei Chachamim to be Marbitz Torah? We need Talmidei Chachamim. He was in a Div Lev. I got a good Talmud, I have to give you away. I'm not going to be selfish, keep it for myself. There's another Rebbe, another Rosh Yeshiva that needs a good Talmud to help the yeshiva be established, to start a yeshiva. To give. The heart is a giver. Whatever it got, pumps it out with force, with koyach. The liver is a selfish organ. It's a taker. It's good. The chas v'shalom, liver is the five functions of the liver, the whole cleanses the blood and it does merit the gazach and nutrients, cleanse the blood, bile, v'chul, we're not coming to discuss chas v'shalom one iota. But b'derech klal, in contrast to the heart, it's a taker. And that's why it's kuloi dam. It's pure blood in the laws of Yeridea, and it's the heaviest organ in the body. How did it get so heavy? Well, when you take, when you're in the business of taking, you get heavy. That's what happens when you get kaveh. Why is it called kaveh? Because it's heavy. Why is it called kaveh? It's the heaviest organ in the body. It's a collector. It has a big bank account. Paro, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, you're never going to succeed with Paro. You know why? He's a selfish person. He's a selfish person. Selfish people, you'll never win with. Everything revolves around himself. Everything is, how does this benefit me? How, what am I, what is there to, what do I have to gain from sending out the Jews? How will this enhance my wealth, my honor, my prestige? It's all about him. So you should know, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to tell you in advance, you'll never win. Kaved leiv paro. A person is supposed to be a leiv, is supposed to be a noisim, a giver. The world is not about us, it's about you, about someone else. It's about giving. What is supposed to be the lathe by Paro is the covenant. He's a taker. He just collects the dam hanefesh. He's just looking to take for himself life. Whatever this world has to offer, he's looking to take for himself. Now we have a new appreciation of why the age-old question. How could it be HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the bechira of Paro? Vayechazek Hashem es lev Paro. Hashem was mechazek. Why? It's not fair. Every person is bechira chafshus. The answer is b'derech she'odom roitze leilech sham meilichin oisai. A person has bechira what derech he wants in life. You want to be a taker or you want to be a giver? You want to be a giver? I'll help you. If you want to be a taker, if your heart is a heart of liver, it's a taker. If this is how you have, so I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you achieve. What does it mean by chazik? By chazik comes from the word of chazaka, to take possession. By chazaka, you live in the land for 3 years, you have a chazaka. I have taken possession. Kaved leiv paro. Paro has turned his heart, what was meant to be a giver, into a taker. This is what he wants in life. The mitzvahs, the way Hashem made this world, it's not a matter of Hashem changing a person's destiny. You control your destiny. If you want to be a taker, then you know something, I'm going to help you. If a ganav is mitzvah that he should succeed in pulling off grand larceny, Hashem will help him. There'll be accountability in this world and the next world. There's no question about that. But you know something? You'll have siyata d'shmaya. You'll pull off the impossible because you're diving for it. And that's the way Hashem made the world. Hashem does not interfere. Now does Hashem not interfere with your path in life? Hashem helps you get where you want to go. And if you want to go down this path, I will help you. I will help you be a taker like none other. You want to be a taker? Vayechazek Hashem. It's a mitzvah. It's not that Hashem now is entering into the fold and Hashem now is saying, okay, I'm going to change you to Chiruch Chavshus. Paro has lived an entire life of training himself to be a taker. He has done everything in his existence to be a selfish ingrate. So now, I'm going to answer your tefillos. You want to be a taker? I'm going to help you be a taker. I'm going to help you by chazek leiv. Your heart will continue in this mahalich. What's in it for me? My heart that was meant to be a giver, to give to Klal Yisrael, to give to the world, to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I don't want to be a giver. I want to be a taker. That's the derech that you want. Then Eino Chidami. Your heart will be a mechazek. It'll have chazaka. It'll take possession. We'll continue to collect what the world has to offer, to take it into yourself for selfish purposes, to be the taker. This is the difference between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And the Musar Haskel is to have a heart, to be a nediv leiv, a heart that gives. Don't let your heart turn sour and turn into a kaveh, into a repository of the blood, into a collection of the blood, to be a taker, because if that's what you want to be, then you'll be a taker. You'll always be a taker, and everything in this, in your lifetime, will all be viewed through the lens of what's in it for me, and Hashem will make sure that that's the way, because that's what you want. It'll always be in a matter of chazaka. What is there? What benefit do I have? What how will I take this into my possession? Okay, let's go now to another verse. Running out of time. What time? Because my tape recorder stopped in the middle. What time is that? Another 10 minutes. So how much time do we have left? Five, 10 minutes. I lost track of time because of my tape recorder keeps on stopping. I have to get a new tape recorder. Okay, let's just try to finish up with something. Okay, let me try to tell you two short derech to wind down. Number one is, okay, this is a very beautiful, there's a very beautiful machshava from Rabbi Yochanan Zweig from Florida. Okay, Bayang Maravich, he has a beautiful stuff. He put out two volumes, and he has some very, very rich, original, powerful stuff. And he has a whole development, so I want to add one little prat to his chiddush. He has a beautiful development. What exactly is the difference between Parsha Shemois? I mean, Makatsa very, very much. Everything in a nutshell. What is the difference between Parsha Shemois and Parsha Zweir? He asked like 20 questions. 20. Every question is a knockout question. Okay, one example. Hashem, when Hashem did the Oisois, the Klal Yisrael, and he turned the water into blood to prove who he was, it's called an ois. But when Moshe did this for Paro, it's called a moifes. In Parsha Shemos, it mentions Eretz Yisrael. In Parsha Zveira, it just mentions Eretz Yisrael derech Adam. It elaborates the Parsha Shemos, the Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Zavas, Cholot Vash, a whole long list of beautiful things about Eretz Yisrael. He has a lot of questions. Basically, there's a lot of repetition between Parsha Shemois and Parsha Zveira. What has changed in these two parashas? And he says an incredible insight. The insight is, in Parsha Shemois, the focus is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael must be redeemed. Punishment for the Egyptians? Who cares? Well, you think you're going to solve all the world's problems? You want Yosher? You want Yosher in this world? Yosher is dead. Yosher is Rosh Tevois, Yiskadal, Yiskadash, Shmei Rabbah. Yosher in this world is dead. Don't think you're going to get justice in this world. Okay, who cares? Just look, just do what's right. Parsha Shemois is the Geula of Klal Yisrael. Pokoid Pokagati. I'm taking you out of here. We're going to Har Sinai. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. The Egyptians, who cares? Let them do whatever they want. Punishment, it's none of our business. That's Hashem's business. Parsha Zveira is a whole new parsha. The thrust of Parsha Zveira is all about these Egyptians are going to get what they deserve. The Achare, the Goya Sher Yavoidu, Don Anochi. The whole parsha can be, Rashi really says this. Rashi, in the beginning of the parsha, Ramash says that quotes the pasuk. The whole parsha Zveira is one thing. The Hagoy Asher Yavoidu Don Anochi. They're going to get what they deserve. Parsha Shemos, it's Klal Yisrael. We're going out of Mitzrayim. The Iker is Klal Yisrael. Whole different focus. They're both of these elements are in both parashios. But what is the Iker? What is the Tafel? The Parasha Shemos, you'll study the Parasha, the Iker is the Geula, and Parasha Seir, the Iker is punishment. Why is it necessary punishment? Because this is a very deep idea. There has to be punishment in this world. There has to be. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And more, and if you want to go deeper, and here's where I want to really add a little bit to Rabbi Yochanan's why. The punishment element to the Ummah Sa'olam is what brings them to that point, the Hayo Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. The Klal Yisrael to be makir, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We do not need to be punished. There's going to be punishment. There is accountability. There's no doubt about that. Don't ignore that. But that's not the ikur in what will bring us to Shema Yisrael. The Goyim will never ever come to Shema, to the Hoya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz without the Goy Asher Yavoidu Don Anochi. There's no way they'll ever reach it. They'll never come to Makar unless they get what they deserve. This is the Metzius.
But even by Klal Yisrael, there's Avon.
I told you. By Klal Yisrael, there's punishment. Make no mistake about it. There's accountability. There's harsh punishment. But for Klal Yisrael to come to the lofty madrig of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Ikor, the primary is the good. is the good, is to serve Hashem, is to come close to Hashem, to Torah, to Eretz Yisrael. There's accountability, don't make any mistake, there's Yira, of course. By the Goyim, the only way they know to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to achieve what it says, V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, it's only through they know front and center there's something called V'agoy Asher Yavoidu Don Anochi. Go to the parasha, you'll see it clear in the parasha. Rashi Kama says this. Okay, now what comes first in the two parashas, all of the parashas? First comes Parashas Shemos, then it comes Parashas Vo'era. Pesach Seder. Do we have both of these elements of the Pesach Seder? Well, we emphasize it in a very strong way with, besides the Tanakhos, that's really awesome, that's so a little power, but Shvoich HaMoscha L'Goyim. There's no greater part of divine retribution. We say Kinois. We mamish recite Kinois Lel Seder. We say Shvoich HaMoscha El HaGoyim Asher Lo Yidu'ucha Vel HaMamlochais. V'chulu, we say some really heavy-duty stuff there. Okay, some people, some unfortunately, it's so heavy for them, they don't even want to say it. They're so scared to say such harsh things. It's there for a reason. Because that's Parashas Vo'era. The Haggadah begins with Parashas Shemos, and then there's Parashas Vo'era. They're both there. They have to both be there for many, many reasons. And this Mahalach, one is because there's Ge'ula for the world also. There's something called V'hoya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. That's also part of the divine plan. Through Klal Yisrael, the Orl Amen. First comes Shemos, Klal Yisrael, and then comes the Umay Soilam. There's another day in the year that is a parallel to Pesach Seder. And that is Tisha B'Av. Atbash, the same night, the same day which is the Lel Seder, is the day of Tisha B'Av. There's a parallel. B'tzeisi Mitzrayim, B'tzeisi Mirushalayim. Question. In the kinois we recite on Tisha B'Av, do we focus on our yearning for Geula? We certainly do. Do we focus on divine retribution to the goyim who have tortured us? We certainly do. What's the order? The order is the reverse. The first section of kinois, Shabbos, Suru Mimeni, I've got all the words of the kinois. Almost every single kina makes mention, you're going to get what you deserve. The first section of kinois over and over make mention how they tortured us. And at the end we say, don't worry, your day is coming. You'll also have your day of retribution. And then you wake up, middle of kinois, I was yeshiva, I couldn't wait until I heard the Baal Tzil say, Tzioin! The whole section of Tzioins, the last section of I think how many are there? There are nine. There are nine Tzioins. At the end of the Kinois, there are 45 Kinois, the last nine all begin with the word Tzioin. All of those make no mention of divine retribution to our enemies who have tortured us in our long galus. It only discusses our longing to return to Tzion, to Eretz Yisrael. What's going on? It's reversed. Here in the Torah, first comes Shemos, then comes Vo'era. Lel Seder, first we focus on all the good things, and then at the end, we say Shvecha Moscha. What's going on? The answer is, this is a Seder. The Seder is the first, must be a Klal Yisrael. After there is a Klal Yisrael, that's an Or La'amin, then we can go into the next step of the Hoya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. Pesach Seder, we go through the steps. It's the formation. We relive the experience of becoming Klal Yisrael. And then at the end, there has to be a Shvecha HaMascha, so the Goyim also will come to be Makiv Hoya Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, we've been around a long time, and we're not going nowhere. The Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakeh. We got problems, Rabbi Yisrael. We got serious, serious problems. If we're in Golis for almost 2,000 years, we got serious problems. But we're still Klal Yisrael. It's not a question to reinvent ourselves, to recreate ourselves, to become a new nation. We are what we are. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishakeh. We got problems. We have to mourn over the Korban. But you know something? The world has even bigger problems. they have even bigger problems than ours. They're really lost. We're lost in Golis, but the world, they're goners. On Tisha B'Av, we reverse the order. The order is first, we reflect upon our suffering. At the same time, we say, Hashem, give them what they deserve. Because we're already here. We're already Klal Yisrael. V'netzach Yisrael. V'hoyah Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Then second thing we do is, and let's also elevate ourselves also. We also have to, when Mashiach will be, v'hoyah Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, we will reach even a greater madrega of Kedusha. I'm just trying to point out, building upon the yisoid of Rabbi's wife, there's a Shemos and a Vo'era. Shemos is our Geula. Vo'era is, in disguise, the Geula of the world. And unfortunately, they're so meshuga and wicked, the only way they can understand V'hoya Hashem l'melech, you can't ignore the fact V'hoya Hashem l'melech hakol ha'aretz. It says over and over in the beginning of the bar. In order that Paro should know Ki ani Hashem, Hashem spared the life of Paro. When the whole Yitzias Mishayim was over, Chazal make it very clear, Paro survived. And what did he do with the rest of his life? He went promoting Yadus. He went around the whole world telling the world what happened to bring V'hoya Hashem l'melech hakol ha'aretz. How does that happen? It only happens through fire and brimstone, through Shefai Chamas. The Seder, we need to be Klal. So first is Shemos, then it's Va'era. Pesach Seder is the same sequence. It's Shemos, Shefai Chamas. But Leil Tisha B'Av, you cannot ignore the fact that in the Kinois, it's mamish reverse. The first chunk of Kinois, we talk about the blood on Hashem's robe. Hashem, don't forget the blood on your robe. That's one of the last kinas we say before we begin the tziyons. It's all about divine Hashem. Look at how we suffer. Look who's responsible. And then we go into us alone. Because we're already here. Tisha B'Av, we already exist. We don't need to be reinvent ourselves. We need to be redeemed. And they need to be punished. They need to come to a madrega of Hoya Hashem Lecholaretz, and by doing so, Mimela, we will be elevated to a new lofty madrega of Yimos HaMashiach to be the Orla Amin. There's a reason why it's reversed. Okay, I think enough said. Have a wonderful Shabbos.